KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley. It's 100% chance of rain this afternoon, high of 44. 90% chance of rain turning to showers tonight. Snow level dropping to 1,200 feet, low of 36. On Tuesday, 90% chance of showers. Our snow level will start off at 1,100 feet, then rise to 1,800 feet in the afternoon with a high of 42. And showers likely Tuesday night, rain into Wednesday, and more of the same in the Umpqua Valley for the next several days. Right now, though, we're getting a lot of reports and seeing pictures of a rain-snow mix. If you go to the KQEN Facebook page, we've got a new post up, and we're seeing pictures from around Douglas County of snow, and in some cases, snow sticking pretty well. And a lot of other folks just getting a little bit of flakes in with the rain. So that's what we're experiencing right now, but you can chime in on our online platform on the KQEN Facebook page and let folks see what it is like where you are. We're still at 39 degrees, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Jerry Jesvold of Serenity Lane in Albany joining us and following a theme that we began the year with, kind of looking at things for the new year to create a better person. Beginning of the year, we had the YMCA on and Blue Zones Project Umpqua, but we wanted to go a different direction today to some extent and talk about resolutions in a lot of different areas, including mental health and substance use and things like that. Jerry, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Oh, you bet, Kyle. I always enjoy being with you.
So what is it about the first part of the new year that causes people to make resolutions to change?
Well, you know, I think it's a beginning. You know, it's a new beginning. And, you know, I was thinking about it when you asked me if I'd come on and talk about this. And the one that always used to excite me was the first day of the month that was on a Monday, you know, because that was just kind of like, now I'm going to do it. And so I think, you know, that's a big part of it. And people, you know, most of us want to make some kind of an improvement in our lives. And so as a result, you know, it's a good starting time and we can look back and, well, I know I started on January 1st.
But a lot of times people give up by about January 10th.
You know, we're at a point, and we were talking about this before we came on the air, that this is a time, you know, when the temptations to move away from it or to just kind of give up on it. And, you know, the reality is what really works is not trying to do everything in such a short period of time, you know, and making everything be perfect right now. And so it requires some patience. And, you know, we live in a society where patience is not exactly appreciated and or embraced. So as a result of that, there's always that voice inside of our heads. You know, I'm reminded forgetting his name now. The actor that had that committed suicide. He had a real problem with cocaine, and when he would get depressed, his whole mindset would be one of I know how to make you feel better. You know, and so we have those memories that we've experienced over time, whether it's eating food or using a mood-altering psychoactive substance and having some pleasure come from that. And so we're kind of reminded, well, you know, I know how you can feel better.
Interesting. Well, what are some of the common resolutions that you hear about people making?
I think probably the number one, and again, we were talking about it before we went on the air, but is weight loss. You know, we all have a tendency to kind of exercise less, and if we're still eating as much, and as we age, our metabolisms slow down. So it's real natural to put on a pound or two or five or 10 or 20 or whatever. And so we get to that point where we just feel, I've got to change and I've got to lose weight. And I would say that's probably number one. But obviously with what we do in terms of substance use disorders, we tend to, after the first of the year, have a lot of inquiries for treatment because people have made promises, for example, and not been able to keep them and those sorts of things. So there's more interest in trying to pursue it in a more aggressive way.
And whatever the resolution is, people mean well, they try, but as you said, we are impatient, and maybe that's the first thing to put into this discussion, whether it's weight loss, whether it's substance use changes, whether it's other areas of mental health or relationship boundaries or whatever, that approaching it with the idea that it's one step at a time, as opposed to trying to conquer whatever the issue was, you know, in one fell swoop in a few days.
Exactly. You know, we're used to pushing the button on the television remote and the channel changes, you know, and so we get kind of laissez-faire and you know, we expect things to happen immediately. And in reality, in fact, as I go back and, you know, it's been 43 years now, but, you know, as I go back and think about early in recovery, one of the things that kind of struck me and was a defining moment was I started feeling like I was in control, you know, of my decision making and my choices, which was very empowering in itself. I didn't go to, you know, alcohol to, you know, make me feel better. I didn't do it. And as a result of that, I really got more insightful and more empowered and more in control, I guess would be the best way to put it. And that can be kind of intoxicating in itself. We were mentioning or talking a little bit about your experience in weight loss. I mean, when you do that, you just feel so invigorated and so you just feel like you're having a little more control in your life. And there's so many things in our lives that are, you know, not in our control that it's nice to be able to control things that we can change and feel good about.
Well, and as you mentioned, as people age, metabolisms change. I mean, when I was a teenager, I was incredibly skinny, but I also rode bikes all over the place.
Yeah.
And even back then was doing 100-mile rides. And 1 year rode 5,000 miles on my bikes. And, and you know, did I, you know, was in clubs depending on where I was living, a couple of different places in Medford and Portland. But then you get into your 20s and you start working and you're working hard and you're trying to work your career. And so you're putting in a lot of hours and then suddenly you don't have time to do that. And you don't really have time to make food. And so you're eating out of wrappers and, you know, it just goes, just goes from there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then that just perpetuates itself into more and more of the same. And we just kind of slide down. And next thing you know, we've got 20, 30, 40 pounds on us that we didn't want to have. And so getting that turned around requires, again, you know, discipline. And the other thing that happens when we, you know, in fact, I was thinking about this before we got on the air, and that was, you know, a lot of folks now are saying not to make resolutions. And the reason being is that we make them and then we don't keep them and we feel worse. You know, it's better to just kind of say that, you know, this is what I'm going to do today. We talk about that all the time in our program of recovery is that I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to use today. And then let tomorrow come and I'm not going to use today. You know, and pretty soon you've got a whole bunch of days. And if we don't submit to that temptation, then again, we start feeling the empowerment of being in control, and it's a wonderful thing.
And even in areas like food, for example, saying, okay, I'm not having this greasy whatever it is that I shouldn't have. I'm not going to have one of those today. And slowly, it becomes a pattern shift, where then the idea of even having one doesn't have the appeal it used to, and maybe has no appeal.
In fact, I'm sure you experienced this when you were losing the weight, but, you know, when you go on a diet and you're not eating sugar and then all of a sudden you have a donut or something, it doesn't taste that good, you know, but sugar is very addicting in itself. The metabolite of sugar is very similar to the metabolite of cocaine, but they both create a stimulation. And we see that when we give sugar to kids or sugar products to kids and they bounce off the walls, you know, it's the kind of thing. In fact, I look back on, again, I remember probably 5 years of my not using drugs or alcohol, and I decided to tackle sugar and not have it at all. And I got severely depressed. I mean, much worse than I did when I stopped drinking or stopped using. I mean, it just really hit me as to how impactful sugar had become in my life. And I think if we go back and think of things in moderation, and, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have to worry about it. You know, you talked about when you were younger, you could eat probably whatever you wanted to and didn't have to worry because you were active. So we just have to be consistent with our metabolism and realizing that if we take in more calories than we burn, we're going to put on weight.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Jerry Jesfault, Serenity Lane in Albany with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. KQEN 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. It's Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman talking about the state of Douglas County. He's giving an address at this hour to the Roseburg Area Chamber. He's going to replicate much of that and cover some of the same areas, talking about county government, his view of the previous year, and looking forward, the state of the county, with Commissioner Tim Freeman on tomorrow's program. Jerry Jesfault, Serenity Lane, he's in their Albany facility. And Jerry, we've really talked about food and talked about alcohol and other substance use and abuse and all of that. But I mean, there's other things too that can tie into resolutions. I mean, for some people, maybe it's even something like trying to repair a fractured relationship with a friend or family member.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that can be difficult. I think one of the things that happens to all of us is we have a hard time admitting that we're wrong. One of the things in the AA and the NA programs are that, you know, making amends and the importance of making amends when we've harmed somebody. And it's a way of getting clean with ourselves, you know, and making apologizing for behavior that we allowed ourselves to go outside of who we want to be. But it really makes a difference in terms of now. The important thing, obviously, is that if we make amends for something we've done in terms of harming someone else's feelings or reputation or whatever, that we need to make the change that's consistent with that amend that we make. I find that sometimes when I'm dealing with people that are needing to make amends, they will make the amend and then they'll get ticked off because the person doesn't forgive them. Well, the reality is that that's not my job. My job is to make the amend and then let that person decide when and if they are going to forgive me. So it's one of those things that requires humility and being honest and with ourselves and getting feedback. One of the things that I know is really important in making changes, like we're talking about, is having some kind of a support system. In the program, we have a sponsor or sponsors, and those sponsors are to help us, you know, stay on the track, you know, and stay on, you know, within the boundaries of what we find to be, you know, important decisions in our lives. Because we don't do a very good job of interpreting what's, you know, what the right thing is to do. So having that other person or persons that can give us feedback and say, you know what, you're wrong. And in all honesty, give us that kind of feedback that sets us straight.
So that would obviously be a suggestion you'd have for people that are having trouble sticking with resolutions is to have that support network.
Absolutely. I think, Payne loves company, you know, and knowing that I'm not the only one that's going through this or having difficulty. You know, whether you're talking about Weight Watchers or you're talking about AA or NA or, you know, gambling's anonymous. Look at how many anonymous programs there are out there. And in every one of them, they'll talk about having a support network and system in place that will help us stay grounded in reality rather than our, you know, delusional thinking that it's the way we want it to be.
What are the types of things that get in the way of people being successful and making positive changes?
Well, we are creatures of habit. And so I think one of the things that happens is if we've been doing an activity, whether it's, you know, having ice cream every night or having five beers every night, you know, the reality is we get into that habit. And as a result of that, when you take that away, your brain is telling you that, you know, why aren't you doing this? You know, and it's kind of tempting us to do it again and to continue to do it in spite of the fact that it's harmful to us. So that having been said, it requires, again, you know, not taking that first drink or that, I think I've mentioned on your program before, a cocaine addict one time told me he didn't have a problem with cocaine until he ran out of cocaine. Well, that's a problem. And so if we're feeling deprived, I mean, I talk about that sometime when I am talking to a group about dieting, for example. First thing that happens when we go on a diet, we feel like we're being deprived of things that we want to eat. And so what do we start thinking about? We think about all the kinds of things that we shouldn't eat. And it's just kind of a difficult thing to retrain or reprogram the brain into thinking that, you mentioned it earlier, maybe you can have something that you really shouldn't have on a large scale basis, but you can have a little bit, you know, and you know, create that, minimize that temptation to where, that's the other thing that I just might mention is that, let's say it's a diet. If we break the diet 5 or 10 or 15 days into our diet, then we say, well, screw it. I've done it, so I might as well just go all in, you know. And so it's the other thing along those lines that I think is critical is if you do mess up and you have something that you feel like you shouldn't have had, then realize that, acknowledge it, and say, you know what, I'm going to get right back on it, you know, and maintain that till I start experiencing the benefits of the weight loss or, you know, the gambling, not having gambling losses or whatever the behavior might be.
It seems like then, much like in the AA model, that where you acknowledge that you have a problem and you can't drink, some people, though, can drink moderately and be fine and never have a problem. And at the same time, some people can have a cookie or two and never be tempted to down the entire bag. And I guess for some people, well, it does happen, I'm told.
No, I know it does happen. I've done it.
Some people as well, though, probably have to just flat out avoid cookies or certain types of pastries or whatever. Sure. And maybe they also have to avoid certain types of comments in relationships before they, you know, start down the wrong path, too.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Kyle. It's a matter of being more conscious, being more aware. And again, what comes out of that, if I'm making a decision that's consistent with who I want to be, then all of a sudden I'm feeling like I'm in control. And that's a very empowering experience I've had myself. And it's really not as difficult as we make it, would be the best way to put it.
You know, I've talked a little bit about weight loss and my struggle with not, you know, eating too much and eating certain things. When we went on vacation last summer, we'd never been to Hawaii before. That was a new thing. Ooh. And I didn't want to mess up my weight loss and maintaining where I was. But yet at the same time, I wanted to experience the Hawaiian culture and enjoy some things. And I was pleasantly surprised, having no scale to weigh myself on while I was gone, to come back and find out that I weighed exactly what I weighed when I left. The one thing, though, was while I enjoyed some great meals in Hawaii and some of the native Hawaiian culture and foods, I was also walking like 10 miles a day out doing all these hikes and things like that, and that made the difference.
You bet it does. So you can compensate for that, you know, the extra caloric intake by doing the exercise to balance that out. And you mentioned it earlier in terms of moderation. That's a big part of it. And then, again, doing some physical exercise to burn the calories.
So as you deal with folks back in the alcohol and drug abuse side, do you see a lot of people come in right at the start of the year?
Absolutely. Yeah, they've they've made promises, or maybe they've even been in recovery. And in, you know, the holidays, we've talked about this in programs past, that during the holidays is a difficult time because there's a lot of celebrating going on. So it's really easy to fall off if they've been, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 months or, you know, whatever, in recovery and they're doing well, but that temptation just kind of grabs them and they relapse. And so they need to get, you know, back in to get some assistance in staying clean and sober. But then there are those that have promised that it's going to be different, you know, from now on, and they haven't been able to keep that promise. And so loved ones have said, okay, that's it. You need to get some help. So after the first year right now, our census is building quite a bit.
So as we wrap up here, I guess whatever the issue might be, maybe the big thing to take away is the importance of some kind of support system in place to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, what we refer to in the program is sponsorship. And the sponsor, the person that we want to work with is somebody that's going to speak to us candidly rather than, you know, what we want to hear, what they think we want to hear. So it becomes somebody that you can really trust and give them permission to give us straight feedback.
Jerry Jesvold of Serenity Lane in Albany. Jerry, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Absolutely, Kyle. Always enjoy it.
12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.